Welcome to Playmakers Talk Show, where business owners, professionals, and entrepreneurs gather to discover playmaking ideas for success. Your host is internationally recognized speaker, facilitator, and author, Steve Klein, who sits down with fascinating playmakers who have made themselves and their company successful. Steve will introduce you to CEOs and executives who discuss their playmaking path toward success. And now, it's time to meet this show's playmaker. Here's your host, Steve Klein.
Booker Washington said, "You measure the size of the accomplishment by the obstacles you had to overcome to reach your goals." Welcome to Playmakers Talk Show. I'm Steve Klein. In the studio today is a guest who did overcome obstacles to reach his goal. Today's playmaker began his professional sports career as a professional hockey player. With us today is a CEO who started a pro football team in Texas without a dime in his pocket. This great playmaker is Tommy Benizio. Tommy is CEO of the Texas Revolution Pro Football. Now, team majority owner Tommy Benizio spearheads the Texas Revolution organization as the team's CEO, as I mentioned, following a four-year stint as the Indoor Football League's first commissioner. Over the course of his time as commissioner, the league grew in both strength and stability. Prior to being named commissioner, Tommy was the owner and operator of both the Intense Football League and the Odessa Roughnecks for five seasons, winning Franchise of the Year and Executive of the Year awards for his work with the team. Tommy brings over two decades of experience in the operation of professional minor league sports franchises, getting a start in the early 1990s as a player for the ECHL's Roanoke Valley Rampage. Following his brief professional hockey career, he took a position in the front office of the ECHL's Roanoke team. From that point on, he worked hard at every position he held while earning promotions through professional hockey teams in Dayton, Ohio, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, Tucson, Arizona, El Paso, Texas, and Knoxville, Tennessee. During his second stint with the team in Roanoke, Tommy served as a founding member of the AF2 while operating both the hockey and football franchises. Well, a lot there, a lot to talk about. Tommy, welcome to Playmakers Talk Show.
Well, it's such a pleasure to be here, Steve. Thanks for having me.
Well, I'm glad you are here. Now, you've been in professional sports for over 20 years. Aside from winning on the field, which is always important, especially the fans, what does it take to create a successful sports franchise?
You know, it's funny, people talk about the importance of winning a lot. And, you know, most of us are major league sports fans here in Dallas, right? We love our Cowboys. And you kind of watch what you perceive as the success of the team in seasons when they're winning and even decades when they are or are not doing a lot of winning. And you really kind of judge the team largely based on the wins. The reality is, and people laugh at me or even argue with me, despite my living through this, at this minor league level, Steve, the winning and losing has so much less to do with the success of the team than people might imagine. In fact, you know, we're living proof of that. In 5 years, some of our best crowds came at times when we had three wins on a season. So the reality is we want to entertain people. We are a business. We want to figure out a way that we can make as much or more money than it costs to operate the team, or we won't be here very long. So our real focus is on how can we be a blessing to the community and entertain them with something that's affordable while doing our best to, obviously part of the entertaining them is doing our best to win football games. But when it's said and done, we run a business, we want it to be profitable, and we want it to be something that's a blessing to the community in which we play.
Well, talk about that. Talk about some of the things you were doing for the community. You were in Allen, Texas. You've now moved north to Frisco, playing at the Dr. Pepper Arena for the first season beginning 2018, which we'll talk about in a few moments. But what are some of the things you do for the community that helps build the Texas Revolution?
You know, first of all, just putting a good product together, you know, not just on the field, but in the things that happen around it in the arena. You know, it's fun. You come to one of our games, Steve, and between the pregame smoke and laser light fireworks kind of show into these incredible America's Got Talent kind of halftime acts and looking at these players in these cool-looking uniforms playing on that really unique red turf, you know, it's really fun. You know, the footballs are whizzing by your head. The players are interacting with you literally in between plays. You just don't see that really in any pro sport event. So it's a real special thing to, you know, to put a product out there that people want to come and be part of. You know, so that's, you know, if, I don't know if you'd call that a contribution or not, but what we do is, you know, making sure that the families of Collin County have an opportunity to do something wholesome that's fun. But beyond that, we do our very best to be involved in, you know, a variety of different charities, speaking engagements. There's things that we're constantly involved in. doing our best to give back with what we do have to offer. So we love being out there and meeting people and contributing everywhere we can.
Then listening between the lines, what I heard is that your product really is an event and or an experience, more so than just the football game. Now, to me, watching indoor football is an experience. It's fast. It's fun. Everybody needs to have at least a chance to see it so they understand what I'm talking about. But you're creating an experience for your fans. Is that correct?
Yeah, that, well said. You know, for sure. People come and, you know, we hear it all the time. As much as, you know, I mentioned we love the Cowboys, you hear have fans that come on a regular basis and say, wow, this was really such a unique experience. I almost liked it better than going to see the Cowboys. I mean, we know where we fit in, you know, not to compare ourselves inappropriately, but when you have an opportunity to come on the field and meet the players and the coaches and the cheerleaders after every single game, you have that sort of interaction, you catch a football, you get to keep it. The experience is so unique, I think, and it's really based around most of our favorite sports around here, right? It's you know, football still. So you get this near NFL quality football that draws people in, but it's the things that happen to create it into more of an event than just a football game that I think really create the memories for people.
Well, you are to the Cowboys similar to what the Texas Legends are to the Dallas Mavericks and the Frisco Rough Riders are to the Texas Rangers. Not exactly, but it's something else for you to for the fans to come out and see, especially when the season's over. Now, one of the things I noticed from doing some research on you is the old AFL, and we were talking about this before the show started, the Arena Football League. Jerry Jones, as I think you mentioned, owned the rights to every arena in the state of Texas. Is that correct?
Yeah. I was operating a professional hockey team that I had part ownership in El Paso years ago, and there was a really bright young man named Chad Dittman out of Corpus Christi who worked for me who left and eventually wanted to start arena football teams here in Texas. And it was really interesting having this conversation with him and him pointing out, Tommy, there's teams, 30 plus teams from coast to coast now all over America, but there's not one team in Texas, which seemed very peculiar. There's all these opportunities and they're just, for whatever reason, no one took advantage of them. So, you know, a light bulb went off in his head and therefore mine. I was at that point running a hockey team I had launched in Knoxville, Tennessee. And he said, hey, why don't we look into this? So we did. We contacted the Arena Football League, and you alluded to it, that, you know, Jerry Jones had bought the rights to every city in the state of Texas with an arena. At the time, he was launching the Dallas Desperados, which, you know, was a really successful team for many years here in Dallas. And he, I think, saw the opportunity, and eventually, I can only assume, he intended on getting around to maybe launching some other teams in some of these other, you know, beloved football communities here in Texas, and it just didn't happen. And so we went to Valley Ranch, met with his people to try and see if they would partner with us on letting us start a couple of teams here, and they declined. So we said, you know what, forget it, we'll start our own league. We'll call it the IFL instead of the AFL. And we bought their patent wrapper and had our attorney help us create a game that was as similar to the AFL game as possible without getting us in trouble. And he launched a team in his hometown there in Corpus Christi. I chose, of all places, someplace I was very unfamiliar with, but I knew they were football passionate, in Odessa, Texas. This was right after the Friday Night Lights book came out. They were filming the movie at the
time.
And
very passionate football fans.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. People love the game there, that little town. You know, to watch them enjoy high school football, and therefore, you know, we assumed, and correctly so, that they would enjoy our brand of football. So, and there, you know, there's minor league baseball and hockey there, and so we were the third pro sport to come to town. But again, people are so passionate about football, we quickly drew good crowds, and the team there did really great for a number of years. It was a lot of fun kind of launching indoor football in Texas when it hadn't happened before. Just to see people come and sort of adopt to the game, it was awesome.
Now, one of the things I understand is that the league you're in and the Champions Indoor Football is a little bit different from the AFL. Is that correct?
Yeah. When we kind of started indoor football, there was one of the things that we really studied and said, well, you know, we want a game that a typical football fan can come to and really understand it. And that was designed really to combat, you know, people just generally think the sport is weird. If you're not familiar with it, it just sounds like some strange thing, kind of like NFL Europe, you know, or the XFL. You know, you and I talked a little bit off the air about how cool that league was, but it really probably didn't do my industry any favors in that people just think of it as some sort of weird version of football. So when we redesigned this game, we had that opportunity. We said, you know what, let's make it as close to the outdoor game as possible. So we want a 60% passing, 40% running kind of game, where the Arena Football League had a couple of unique rules, including one that kept the linebacker within 5 yards of the line of scrimmage, which meant that there was a huge advantage to the offense if you passed all the time. So the Arena Football game was designed originally as a 95% passing game, you know, to contrast what I had mentioned earlier. You know, if you want to be more like the outdoor game, you know, our version of the sport makes it very easy. Fans can come in. Obviously, there's some changes because we're playing on a field that's 50 rather than 100 yards. It's a lot smaller, so we had to make some adjustments. But generally speaking, if you know the game of football, you come, and in a few minutes you become real familiar with what we're doing. There's not rebound nets making receivers turn backwards and that sort of thing. It's regular football squished into this little field.
And you're right. Watching the game for the first time, within just a few moments, if you understand the game of football, you understand what's going on in the field. A few minor things, but you understand that very quickly. Now, you are a hockey player. You were a professional hockey player. You're playing on two leagues, as you mentioned to me. Why did you go from hockey to indoor football? Was that just that was what the availability was for at the time?
I'll tell you, the business model, you know, switching hats now from sports to business, right? You know, you and I talked about that a whole bunch. Really, when you look at the business model of professional football, indoor football, you know, I play in the league and have participated in these leagues in indoor football, in which you really have a chance to have a profitable business. And what that means, obviously, as a business person, obviously, you know, it's nice if you can make a little bit of money and provide for your family and, you know, afford education for your kids and all that sort of thing. Like, we all want to have a nice income, but it's really more than that. The viability of professional sports at the minor league level is been forever a questionable thing, where teams come and go, and you know, you see leagues pop up, and the roster of teams is so different every year. So when you look at a sport that has a greater chance of being profitable, that means you're looking at a sport that we can launch a team here in Allen and or Frisco, and it can be here for 5 years so far, and we can be comfortable signing a lease for another 5 years because we know we're going to be here because we're playing in a sport that has a great chance of making money. You know, there are a lot of people out there who are better than I am at this, but I did a pretty good job, I think, and I still never ran a hockey team that was profitable. It's so difficult. Just the expenses related to the sport, it's really over the years. I saw it in my career. It's become sort of a rich man's game where it's almost impossible to run a professional hockey team in a profitable manner so the team grows roots and you can say it's going to be here for a long time. You need wealthy people who are willing to sacrifice and lose a lot of money every single year in order to make professional hockey work. And so it was kind of just, you know, studying that, saying, you know, as passionate as I am about hockey, as little as I know about football, I admit, you know, the business is very similar. Hire a different kind of coach. I can't contribute as much, maybe, you know, in terms of the actual sports side, but it's similar enough that I can make that transition from my passionate, you know, love of hockey to kind of the unknown of football and feel comfortable that I'm going to run the business right.
What I didn't realize from doing some research is, and I saw an interview that you had given, more than half or close to two-thirds of your revenue is generated from corporate sponsorships, not from ticket sales, which I'm, we're going to talk about in a moment. So your job, it seems, and your team, the front office, is designed to go out and get the corporate sponsorship. Is that correct?
Yeah, I mean, it's really about how can we be a blessing to local businesses, right? They're all trying to grow. Every local business has obstacles and goals. How can we help them achieve those goals and maybe overcome some of those obstacles with some of the ticket packages and, you know, some of the advertising opportunities that we have? So we spend the 7 months of our off season, Steve, really we're out trying to find ways we can be a blessing to local businesses and, you know, with the understanding that if we can get them to invest a dollar and make them $2 back, they're going to keep doing this and say good things and tell other people, and we're going to grow. So really our mission is to find ways we can partner with local businesses and help them grow. And that is more than half of our revenue, but not too far behind is obviously, you know, we want to have as many seats filled as possible with people who can come and also be blessed. We want to give them a better than $20 experience that they might pay for that ticket.
Well, you don't fill the seats. You're not going to have corporate sponsors.
Yeah, that's
no matter
true.
What
they
you
work
do.
Hand in hand.
I'm looking at your website, and the site is TexasRevs, TexasRevs.com. I'm looking at your tickets part of your website, And kids are $5 for every seat. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's right. Adults are 20, 30, 40, and 50, depending on where you want to sit, but your kids can come and sit next to you for $5.
Well, I'm even looking at your season tickets, mm-hmm. which obviously you want to get people in as much as possible. You have a 7-game homestand, is that correct?
Yeah, that's right.
Plus playoffs,
right?
Should you get there, and we'll talk about the fact that you are the championship team in the league. But for a 2-year commitment for season tickets, just on the discount, it's $130 for discount. That's, and I did the multiplication with playoff games. That's about $14 per ticket.
Yeah, it's not so
per
bad.
Person. That mm-hmm. is a wonderful experience to bring the kids to.
Yeah, for sure. It's we want it to be obviously something that people can afford to come and do. You know, realizing once again we're not the Cowboys. When you can come to a great arena like the Dr. Pepper Arena, and it's so intimate, Steve. It's so cool. The stands are kind of steep, so you feel like you're kind of hovering over this little field that fits in a hockey rink, without the glass that you might normally see in hockey, where you can interact with the players and the referees and the coaches during the game. It's just remarkable, and it costs you $5 for your kids. And as you mentioned, if you're a season ticket holder. You pay so little for these tickets with the discount that it creates a great experience, helps us obviously achieve our goal of getting fans out to see it, and leaves a good impression, I think, on the people that come and enjoy the games.
Well, tell us about the Champions Indoor Football, because you have if you look at a map of the United States, you kind of go north and south toward right up and down the middle of the country. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's right. It's kind of a Chicago to Dallas sort of region, which is pretty neat. It keeps things, once again, talking about business, it's challenging to have to, fly 30 football players, coaches, and staff members across the country for
a
game.
And you don't have your own plane.
And that would probably be more expensive if we could afford it. But the reality is when you can take a bus trip and it's a 4 or 5 hour journey for these guys. It keeps them healthy, number one, but it makes the whole thing affordable between per diem, hotel rooms, and the actual travel. So the league is designed with that in mind. So you got that kind of narrow strip through the center of the country. We play most of our games against opponents who are in the southern half of that geography to make it even more affordable. We get into the championship rounds. Last year, we were fortunate enough to host the championship game against the Omaha Beef. Which is
a great name for an Omaha
team. 20-year-old team. So there's some history behind that team, which is pretty neat. And it was neat to have them come travel down as champions of that Northern Conference and let us host them as champs here in the South.
Now, isn't one of your rivals only about 20 minutes away?
Yeah, that was a real blessing, too, a couple years ago. A team was launched in Mesquite, the Dallas Marshals, and they've grown a little bit over the last couple of years, which has been fun to watch. And when you talk about, again, you just look at pure savings, it's a pretty cool situation when it comes to travel. But they also have a great fan base that comes up here and buys an extra ticket or two from us and vice versa. Our fans love being able to go to a road game, and it's right down the highway here. So that's been a lot of fun.
It's almost a home game for both teams.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
You are the champions of Champions Indoor Football. Is that correct?
Yeah, yes, indeed.
Being the kind of a league where you're getting players some exposure, how much turnover do you have in your team year to year?
Successful teams from, and I don't have statistics to prove this, but, just from studying the game as much as we do, to have some success, typically you want to make sure you get half your roster back. As crazy as that sounds, that's success. So you have some consistency there. But you see teams that have 3/4 of their roster turnover. Again, these are young men playing for a few $100 a week. A lot of them played in the NFL over the last year or two, and they realize they can go home, sit on the couch, eat potato chips, getting fat, waiting for their agent to find them another team. Or they can come and play for our team here. My general manager, Tim Brown, is obviously a real recognizable football name between the Heisman Trophy and the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And he helps us not only recruit these players, but try and find them places in the NFL when they're worthy of him doing so. And, so for these young men to come here, have this opportunity, even though they're not playing for a lot of money, it's pretty cool. They play for a year or two and they either make it up to the NFL, or it's maybe a wake-up call that, hey, this was fun. I got to sign lots of autographs and get lots of free dinners and that sort of thing, and I love playing the game, but I have a college degree. I probably went to a major Division I recognizable college, and I'm going to use that degree to go start the rest of my life. So you see these guys coming because of the low wages and the physical risks of playing professional football. They play for, the average player plays for a year or two and moves on.
So there's turnover with them just leaving the sport or moving up to the NFL. I alluded to this before. Your season is really the off season for the NFL. You're February through June. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's right.
Tell us about what's upcoming for the 2018 season.
We do kick off February 25th here at home, which is you know, a good date for us. We're excited to have almost all Saturday nights this year, which is fun. It's a little easier for the fans to get out and come and enjoy the games. You know, we are booking great halftime acts. Obviously, we have a new coach, Carlos Cavanaugh, is remarkable. He was our offensive coordinator last year. We averaged, and I think it was around 70 points in offense, and I don't have those stats in front of me either.
And that's another reason why I like the game so much, because you're looking at combined score well over 100 points every single game.
Yeah, that's true. Well, I love telling people this story, even though it starts off a little negative. But you know, we have a great rivalry with the Amarillo Venom. We always have close games with them, and they came in here this year and put 95 points up on us. So you think, wow, they scored 95 points. The crazy part about the – if there could be a more crazy part to that, if you're a football fan used to, you know, seeing your team hoping they score 24 points, right? So this team comes in here and scores 95 points, but we still beat them, Steve. 96-95 in the longest and highest scoring game in league history. And the fans didn't leave. Over 4 hours into it, they were still in their seats. And with 3 seconds left, you know, we dug a win out. And it was one of the most thrilling moments of my sports career, just watching the team battle through a four-hour journey and with our fans by our side, and to come out and to win a game like that was so cool.
Oh, if any listener didn't think that arena football wasn't exciting, that tells it right there. Most people watching NFL realize that a team can come from behind. Green Bay Packers, for example, can win the last few seconds. But what's interesting about arena football is that multiple scores can happen in the last few seconds.
Yeah.
And that's what makes the game so exciting. You never know how a game's going to finish. And 96-95?
Yeah, that was wild.
That had to be exciting.
I think the championship game we won by 10 points, but leading up to that, almost every single game we either won or lost in the last minute of the game or less. You know, there were games where I remember in the last 4 or 5 minutes, the lead changing hands 6-7 times. So, you know, you're on top of the world thinking we're going to win. Then all of a sudden we're losing. Then we're going to win. You know, we score again. Then they return a kickoff for a touchdown, and suddenly we're losing. And now there's 30 seconds left. And how could we possibly do this? And, you know, like that Amarillo game, even with 3 seconds left, we still had a kickoff to them. So we were nervous. You know, if they could figure out a way to get an extra play in, kick a field goal, you know, all they needed was a decent return, right? And so it was really, the game is very, very cool. It's near NFL quality football with NFL scouts in the stands at just about every game, whether it be Will McClay and his people from the Cowboys or other teams, you know, that we find out after the game where they are studying one of our players or more. You know, you got this real high quality football played on that little field right here in Frisco where you can interact with these players during and after the game. It's a pretty neat, pretty thrilling experience.
And I would guess, moving now into the Dr. Pepper Arena, that there's no bad seat in the house.
No, for sure.
I mean, you're looking down and can see that game, and just it's an exciting, exciting event. Well, tell everybody how they can find out more about the Texas Revolution.
In this day and age of the internet, you mentioned our website, texasrevs.com. That's certainly an easy way to follow us. Of course, you know, we're not hard to find on Facebook or Twitter, and we have a great following in both of those social media outlets. So we're not a hard team to follow, to find, and to become a fan of, and we'd love to have everybody out for that game on February 25th when we start our season up here opposite of the traditional football season.
And if you know where the Texas Legends play, it's in the same building.
Yeah, they're great roommates. Malcolm and the gang over there have been real warm and welcoming to us. They start here soon, too. So a good time for sports in Frisco. I know FC Dallas just ended their season, unfortunately, just a breath away from the playoffs. And with the Legends starting now, you know, kind of as the Rough Riders and FC Dallas winded down, it's pretty cool.
Well, you're right in the heart of sports with Jerry's World, just almost across the street from where you are, and almost every other sport here, too.
Yeah, that's right.
It's a great place to be. Tommy, this has been a great interview. You are definitely a playmaker. And playmaker comes from soccer, and the playmaker is somebody that makes something happen. You definitely have made something happen in the world of arena football. Thank you very much.
I'm grateful. grateful. Thank you for sharing and letting me be part of this.
Well, again, it's Texas Revs, R-E-V-S, TexasRevs.com to check out anything for Texas Revolution football. Join us again at PlaymakersTalkShow.com where you can get all of our past episodes. And we were speaking with Tommy Benizio. Tommy is the CEO of Texas Revolution Pro Football. Again, you can listen to us at PlaymakersTalkShow.com. And we're going to be back with more Playmakers. See you then.
You've been listening to Playmakers Talk Show with Steve Klein. Join Steve again at PlaymakersTalkShow.com for more interviews with interesting and successful playmaking CEOs and executives.